26. Write that down, verses 2. Let's look at verse 3. Isaiah says this concerning the Lord. He says, "You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." So our mind has to be stayed on the word of God in order for the enemy not to come in and speak something and we automatically believe what he says is true, even though it's contrary to the word of God. But we do that. We do that. And we do that, but we're going to learn tonight how to, I'm going to say, nullify his voice and hold on to with our dear life the word and the promise that God spoke to us. Because how many of you know Satan is trying to rip away and disconnect us from the oneness that we have with God? He is. He's trying to disconnect us. So it says, "You will keep him or her in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Amen. Isn't that what it says? And then we turn right around and look at in Luke 11 and 24, we see that the enemy is roaming around looking for dry and dormant places where the word of God is not being echoed or repeated. Come on. So he's looking for the idle mind. He's looking for the mind. Come on, y'all, that God spoke a promise into your spirit, but you're not repeating it. You're not echoing it. So what happens to that promise, Elder Nate, that word that God spoke? Now it lies dry and dormant, because it does say the watering of the word. So if we don't water that seed that God has planted in us, it becomes dry and dormant. And that's what the enemy is roaming around looking for. Who's not echoing and repeating the promises of God? Because that's who I want to engage in a conversation with. That's who I want to talk to. So why is it, Deke, that you see the enemy sometimes bypass some and run to others? You with me? Why does he bypass some? Because he realized, if I mess with her, if I mess with him, that's a waste of my time. And one thing about Satan is he's a wise rascal. Oh, he's smart. Oh, yeah, he's strategic. Why would I spend 30 minutes trying to attack Kimberly Matthews, who's repeating the promises of God all by faith, because though none of the facts add up, when I can go over to Sister Jane Doe, who's sitting there wondering if what God said is true, and all I got to do is say boo, and she go, ah! She's scared out of her boots, because she's already wondering and doubting, and the word that was planted in her is already dry and dormant. So he really don't have much work to do with her. Come on, somebody say, I must echo and repeat the word of God, the promises of God. Every day, all day, in Jesus' name, I must echo, I must repeat the word of God, the promises of God, every day, all day, in Jesus' name. Amen. So Philippians 2 and 5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." What type of mind was in Christ Jesus? I want to reference John 10 and 30. This is how Jesus rolled. He says in John 10, 30, this is his mindset, TJ. Simple. I and my Father are one. That's my mindset. Ooh, EP caught that. That's how he rolled. What was his mindset? Not that I'm over here and you up there. I'm going left, you going right. His mindset, according to John 10 and 30, is I and my Father are one. What God has put together, let no man separate. We talked about that, right? Let no man put asunder. So nothing can separate or disconnect Jesus from the Father. So nothing should be able to separate or disconnect us from our Heavenly Father. Am I right about it? But we're going to look at some of the plots and schemes of the enemy. Yeah, I don't call it demonology. I just call it taking a sneak peek into what and how and why the enemy operates the way he does. That's how we gain our spiritual strategies over him, because we're not ignorant. The word does say, let us not be ignorant concerning his devices, right? All right, I'm glad y'all in agreement with that. Amen. Give God a praise. Give him a little praise right there. Give him a praise break. I don't know how much I'm going to get through, but like I said, we'll just continue on another time. Let's go here. The power of agreement and demonstration. I want us to look at how God created man in his image and likeness. Everyone knows that from Genesis 1, right? That's good. So it says God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created him. But look at what he called him. Male and female, he created them. So he went from him to them. But don't forget, the two shall become one. So God starts out Genesis 1 talking about him and changing it to them, but still saying, I created him in my image, because there's two aspects of every human being. Amen? The man and the female. So it says, this represents unity, also known as oneness. So how can we love God and not like or hate ourselves if we were created in his image? Even better, how can we love God and hate or not like our brother? And 1 John 4:20 says, how can we hate him, come on, who we see every day, and love a God that we have never seen? So we wonder, what does God look like and what are his attributes? You don't have to look very far. Turn around, look at your neighbor. What does God look like? Look at your other neighbor. Find a male, find a female. You don't have to wonder anymore. Destiny Cast, look in the mirror. If you were created in the image of God, come on, you are looking at God when you look at yourself and your neighbor. So I also want to dare us to look at the first marriage in Genesis. If we want to talk about what does God look like, I was created in his image. Let's look at the first marriage in Genesis, okay? God says it's not good for man to be alone. So he created Eve as his helper, did he not? So, husband and wife, come on. You know we're in class. I need my students to move. Come on, come on. Elder Tim and Minister Kim, this wasn't even planned, but I need you. Amen? Stand right here. So now after he creates Adam, he says it's not good for man to be alone. Let me give you a helper. So he creates Eve. Praise, give God praise for Eve. Hallelujah. The helper. The helper. So now he says the two of you shall become one. So that connects you. Very good. I didn't even have to text him on that one. He caught that, Kim. So you make sure you give him his credit later, okay? And that was good, babe. The two becomes one. So Pastor Charlie said in his introduction of Me Sunday, when he introduced me, he said, I introduce me not in my masculinity, but the feminine side of me. That's what he said. Yeah, he said, because, you know, and I'm here to tell you, God has a feminine side and God has a masculine side. That's how he could say the two, the masculine part and the feminine part, now become one, and now you reflect the image of me on my throne. Just go to the first marriage. Am I right about it? So we are one in the eyes of God. So God has both attributes, male and female, right? So that's why when we want to know what does God looks like, what are God's attributes, just look at the first covenant or the first agreement. The first agreement that was made in Genesis or found in Genesis. So here to me, man is strong. Go on, flex your muscles, Tim. Yeah. TJ Madden ain't call him up. He's like, man, I wish that was me. I'd be like. And you know, Pastor Charlie mess with Alfonso on that all the time. Alfonso out there sticking his chest out. Boy, sit down. Man is strong, yet he's affectionate. Right? Just like God. Come on. Mighty are the works of his hands. But he so loved the world. He did both. Man releases the seed that gives life to another. I don't care how bad Kim want a baby. If that man don't release a sperm and drop a seed, Kim not going to get pregnant. No matter how much you want to give life to little Junior, Junior not going to come forth until the man, the masculine side, a.k.a. God in his masculinity, come on, releases a seed. And so God does that. He releases seeds. Come on. He released Jesus Christ, didn't he? And Jesus Christ brought life to all of us sitting here. This is the masculine side of God. So then we see that when it comes down to birthing time, it's Kim's turn. Come on. The man stands over the wife or very close to her. Does he not? And he pushes and he encourages her when it's time for delivery of that seed. Ooh, he don't leave her. After he drop it, he don't drop it and run. So what happens is Satan has gotten into the minds of many young men who's supposed to be representing the image of God, but God doesn't just release the seed and then run and say, his word says, I'll never leave you nor forsaken you. Am I right about it? But he stands close, very close, if not standing over that wife at that delivery table. And so while she's pushing and bringing new life into the world, we can look at that as the seed God plants in us is new vision. It's a new life that he's trying to birth in and through us. So God stands over us or very close to us to make sure that the vision he planted in our spirit is not aborted. Right? And so remember that vision is what you see with your eyes closed. Sight is what you see with your eyes open. So what's on the inside of you is the truth of his word. It's the promises he has given us. It's the vision. And so God is standing there, but watch this. Man loves, but he also disciplines, corrects, guides, and instructs little Junior. Does he not? Oh, he loves him, but daddy will pull the belt off before mama most of the time. Am I right? So he disciplines, he guides, he instructs. Now, this is where God sends his Holy Spirit, because I said he's not coming off the throne anymore. Right? So God sends his Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit can live on the inside of us, and it allows us to experience that oneness with God all at one time. So Nikki can experience the oneness with God because the Holy Spirit is leading, guiding, directing, and instructing her. But God released the Holy Spirit over Pastor Vicky, so I can experience that oneness. Isn't that powerful? So we have many in the room, but what do we have in common? Why are we fighting and disagreeing with one another when we have so much in common? We're both one with the Father, and we're being led, directed, instructed, and guided by his Holy Spirit. So that is the Holy Spirit in demonstration right here in the earth realm. It says, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Come on, thy kingdom come. Where? How? As it is in heaven. And there's a portrayal of unity in heaven that we have to be able to release in the earth realm. So here we go. It allows us to experience this oneness with God, and it gives us the feeling, watch this, that God himself is on the inside of us. Lay hands on your heart, your chest. You ever felt that way? You know, and then he lives. We call it the out of thy belly shall flow rivers of living water. That's where the Holy Spirit lives. So when PC and I, listen to this, when we lay hands on the belly, we're not hoping and trusting and believing that you're going to fall out. What are we doing? We are coming into, watch this, agreement. Mm-hmm. If that's where the Holy Spirit is dwelling and living in your belly, you should be flowing. And if you come up to the altar, you see individuals coming up to the altar, we say, leaders, come up here. Only if you can stand in agreement and stir up the gift and the anointing and the call of God that's in their life, that's what you're doing. You're waking up that which is dormant and not moving and not active in their life. So that's where the Holy Spirit is housed. And so that's what we're doing. We're trying to activate and bring life to that Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. So we see, let me see, am I done with Kim and Tim yet? So when you look at the husband and the wife, you see the image of God in his masculinity and his femininity. That's a word to say. Y'all try to say that word. It's an interesting word. I was at home like, I'm not even going to try to spell that. Femininity. That's it, but it's interesting, you know. So anyway, that's a difficult word to say, but let's give it up for God in his feminine nature and masculine nature. Give God praise for them. That's why two men. That's why two women. Don't represent the image of God. So no matter what the facts say, no matter what the law says, Destiny Cass, it can be 100 facts on why two women should fall in love and get married and raise children. There will always be a missing component concerning the image of God in that relationship. There will always be a struggle and a challenge with right versus wrong and evil versus good. How do you keep alive something that two individuals are not able to birth? How do you keep alive something that two individuals are not able to birth? Somebody say, So you have umpteen facts, and praise the Lord for you and your facts. Oh, I feel my help coming. But I got one word. The centurion said, just speak the word and my child will be healed. There's one word that will nullify what the sick facts from the doctor is reporting. One word can cancel it. The centurion was smart enough. He said, just speak a word. And all the facts that the doctors have reported concerning my child will be null and void. Somebody say, just speak a word. So we have to open our eyes, believers. Isn't that good? To not have been planned or rehearsed, that was good, Holy Ghost. That's how he worked, right? If you rehearse something and got to practice it, it's your words, not God. If I got to try to see and strategize how I'm going to convince these people that what I'm saying got truth to it, it's not mine. Or should I say it is mine, it's not his. But when God can say you have yielded yourself as a vessel, I'm just going to speak through you. You can take that to the bank and cash it. Y'all know how much I like money, right? You can take that to the bank and cash it. All right, let's keep moving, y'all. Let's keep moving. And I'm sitting here thinking, like, where do I want to go now? I feel my Pastor Charlie anointing coming on. Okay, this is where I want to go. Sunday, I mentioned that Satan spoke to Eve as a contrary voice and a negative force. Remember, God strategically told Adam what to do and what not to do in the garden, right? He spoke to man. He created woman and united them together and said the two are now one. Did he not? So the serpent approaches the woman with God's word. Didn't I tell y'all how does Satan know how to say the opposite of the word of God? Because he got the word of God more down packed than some folk who call themselves Christians. Yeah. So he didn't come and say, what did God tell you? I looked it up. He came to Eve and he said, surely God didn't mean not to eat from the tree of good and evil. Truly, he didn't mean that. So he came with the word. So what happened when Satan approached Eve with the word of God, okay, it was complete contradiction to what God had spoken. So he initiated a disagreement with the word of God. Now, Eve engaged in a discussion with the enemy, which we talked about Sunday. Why keep engaging in conversation with the enemy? You know, she went and said, well, he did. You know, what you think? He did. You know, no. If he said, surely God didn't say that, Eve should say, yeah, he did, and kept on moving. You know, give him the hand and don't even entertain conversation. That's what y'all do when people getting on your nerves and you don't want to talk to them. You know it. The ladies in particular, you'd be like, oh. But then Carla, Satan come and say, how are you going to do that? You don't have any money. How are your kids going to go to college? You didn't save up anything. And how are you going to start a business? You don't even know any people. And we say, you know, you're right. But you let that nagging employee, you know, come in there and tell them, I got to tell you something you did yesterday. You'd be like, I ain't got time for this. But we treat Satan as if he's got some type of credit, that he's worthy of our conversation. A spirit coming contrary to the voice and the word of God, we treat him better than we treat him with more respect and dignity than we do our brother and our sisters and our husbands and our wives. We giving husband, wife, we giving them the hand and we not talking to them. But then Satan turned right around and said, nah. He said, I know. We entertaining Satan, but giving the wife the hand and the husband the hand, like, I don't even got time for this. But we turn around and say, now what you think, Satan? Yeah, I think he out to get you. Mm-hmm, me too. What you think, Satan? I think she cheating on you. Mm-hmm, me too. What you think, Satan? I think you ought to follow him to work. Mm-hmm, me too. What you think, Satan? I think you ought to check her text messages because I know it's some stuff up in there. Me too. But we ain't talking to the one. To the one that God put in our life and says, how you treat her, you treat yourself. And how you treat him, you treating yourself, because you're no longer two individuals, but you are now one in my image and in my likeness. We don't realize when we're ignoring and disgusted with that mate that we are ignoring and disgusted with God. I know. Let me get back on track. Ooh, help me. You praying for me in intercessors. Let me take a drink. I'm just trying to release what God put in my spirit concerning the power of agreement. We have given disagreement so much power and reign over our lives that we're not able to walk in the full promises and blessings of God. Bottom line, we can shut the book. Y'all want to go home at 7:30? They shout, yeah, psych. I shouldn't tease them like that, Mom Banks. Mom Banks like, is she serious? No, I'm not, Mama. Mama like, I know it'll be a miracle if Pastor Vicky sent us home. Pastor Charlie will call everybody and say, get back to that church. You got 20 more minutes of words you need to get. So let's examine this conversation. Y'all want to examine this conversation a little bit closer? Okay. Initially and originally, Eve considered the tree forbidden because Adam told her, babe, don't mess with that tree. I could hear him. Because mind you, when God told Adam not to touch the tree, Eve had not been formed yet. So how did she know to tell Satan, we can't touch that tree? Because her husband told her, bae, don't touch that tree. I know you just came on board, but bae, let me tell you one thing. Okay? While he trying to heal from that rib that's missing, he like, girl, let me tell you something. Don't touch that tree. See that tree right there? Husband, don't y'all do that. Husband, don't touch that tree, baby. So she considered this tree forbidden, and it was a bad tree to touch. To Eve, it represented a curse to the point of death, because she said, we're going to die. And he says, no, die? Surely you're not going to die. Let me keep moving. Eve knew this because her husband Adam had shared this and instructed her. So the enemy's deceptive words, watch what they did, totally changed the appearance of that fruit. It was forbidden. It was a curse. If I eat it, I'm going to die. She articulated it down to the T. Satan comes in with these manipulative, deceptive words, and he changed the appearance of this fruit to the point where now the fruit is good and juicy looking. Isn't that something? All of a sudden, Elder Karen, this fruit is irresistible. It's irresistible to the eye. Where I was running from it, now Satan comes and I'm going to it. Somebody catching it. Just because I entertained a discussion with the enemy who was coming to disagree with what God told me. I'm entertaining a discussion with an enemy who came to disagree with what God told me. So he changed the appearance of this fruit. Now it's so irresistible, juicy, and good looking that I eat it. And And what God showed me is that she didn't just eat the fruit. That's not what cursed her and caused her separation from God. She didn't just, if it was just as easy and simple as I ate the fruit, now I'm cursed. God said to me, she ate the words of Satan and swallowed them. She digested his words. She swallowed them. She choked and she killed herself. So now here we go. Disagreement with Satan. Disobedience is what Eve tapped into. But dismissal from the presence of God came to everybody involved. Disagreement because of Satan. Am I right? Disobedience on Eve's part and dismissal on the part of all three. Everybody got kicked out the garden. All three of them were cursed. So giving us the need for a second Adam to come, because the first Adam messed up. And you might say, so, I don't even want to entertain the controversy. Was it his fault? Was it her fault? Didn't I just say on Sunday, look, come y'all. There is no winner, there is no loser, there is no him, there is no her. When God said the two is one, Eve represented the feminine side of that marital covenant. And when it messed up and she gave some to her husband and he ate too, they both were disobedient no matter who did what. Adam could have very well stopped and who knows what God would have done. And said, maybe the head has covered the one that ate the apple. And so y'all stay on in my presence. But when he ate and she ate, it was over. It was a wrap. Are you with me so far? So 1 Corinthians 15, 44b says, there is the natural body and there is the spiritual body. And it is written, the first man, Adam, was a living being. But the last Adam, who is Jesus, came as a life-giving spirit. All right, so there's nothing new under the sun. So I just talked to y'all about that apple, how it was a forbidden fruit. Remember that? And then Satan's deceptive and manipulative words made it look irresistible and juicy, right? There's nothing new under the sun. Watch this. So now let's look at the flip script of this thing, all right? God's word has a beautiful appearance with great promises tied to it. Doesn't it look good? I'm going the opposite. I'm going the opposite, Old Testament, New Testament. I'm going the opposite now, okay? First the fruit was forbidden, then it looked so irresistible and juicy. So Satan, he worked that system. What system is he working now? Let me show it to you. Now the word of God is so promising. It's so irresistible. It looks so good and it's so juicy. When he speaks it, we receive it, don't we? We get excited about it and we ready to run with it, are we not? And then here comes the enemy's opposing force. Instead of leaving us in agreement with the word of God, right? After he has said all of my promises are yes and amen, the enemy is still speaking words of deception, attempting to engage in discussion with us. Why? To try to change the appearance of the word. This time, not from bad to good, but from good to bad. He just flipped the script. So now what was irresistible, what sounds good, what used to make us want to run, the enemy comes in to speak words of defeat and failure, lies. Come on, he's the father of lies. So that what was once irresistible, now we lay it down and say, watch this, it's forbidden. I don't even want to touch it no more. There's nothing new under the sun when it comes down to the enemy. All right? So it's good to embrace and touch the promises of God, right? And he changes it and makes it something bad and negative by speaking the contrary word of God, all right? You being blessed? That's almost enough notes for one night, isn't it? Isn't that enough notes? How many of you catching revelation on that? How many of you can see something that you couldn't see before? All right? Well, let's go here because I have just a few minutes. I want to just hit on real quick. Stand up and give the Lord a hand clap of praise. I'm going to hit on husband and wives, and then I'm going to hit on parents and children. Uh-huh. Matter of fact, I think I've done enough on husband and wives for tonight. I'm going to go straight to parents and children briefly, and then I'll be able to pick back up one day with the power of agreement, oneness with your finances, all right? So for parents and teens or children, power of agreement, a refreshing experience. You remember Sunday I said there is no perfect family, but there is a perfect peace, and that's what we have. Remember that? How many of you can say you're in perfect peace in your home no matter what's going on? Stand to your feet. You should give God a praise. Because there's some mess going on around here. Doctor saying one thing. The principal saying another thing. The Lord Jesus tickets here and there and everywhere. And not enough money to take care of all the school fees coming in. And just everything's going on. But in the midst of it all, do you still have your peace? All right. I tell people all the time, never look at an individual or a family and think that they have it all together and everything is peaches and cream. I just told Jonathan coming in the car, I said, baby, whatever situation is at hand right now, I said, some things you can fix, and if you can fix it, fix it. And consider it a learning experience. That's a good thing. Because you know, with God, there is no bad. The other side is, well, what if you can't fix it? There's still no bad in that, Elder Rashida, because guess what? Our word says that the blood can fix and redeem anything. If you can fix it with the power and the Holy Ghost that you have. But if you can't, baby, you better submit that thing up under the blood of Jesus. Because he can turn any ruling and he can turn any negative force around. He can, ooh, somebody's catching that in the spirit realm. I don't care what's been said or done or has come up against you. I don't care the amount of pressure and turmoil and disturbances that you're up under. I'm telling you, when you bring that and bring it up under the blood of Jesus, his blood still has cleansing, healing, delivering power. It's in his blood. And I might not be able to fix it, but I know a Savior whose blood is powerful enough. And if we just bring ourselves out of the natural, I oftentimes say if we get frustrated, if we get tired, if we get ready to give up and throw in the towel, we've been in the natural way too long. It's time to close our eyes and say, I can't see this no more. I have to take my spirit and bring it up under the Spirit of God where the blood came streaming down. You got to know how to go back to that place where we were redeemed by the blood. Just because we're believers now, I just gave illustrations of how the enemy is going to constantly, manipulatively, come on, disconnect us from the promises of God. And we got to force ourselves back under the blood of Jesus so that we can stay whole and be healed in Jesus' name. So concerning parents and children / teenagers, there's a lot of unnecessary turmoil and friction in households because of the many disagreements that have caused a disconnect. Just like some people have problems with the husband and the wife, well, he's the man and I'm the man and I wear the pants, and so now the wife disconnects. And there's turmoil and friction in the house, parents can do and be and act the same way and not even recognize it. I'm the mother in this. I'm the father now. I'm the parent in this house. You do what I say. So now we got all these kids that's under yokes and oppression in the household because we don't want to exercise liberty and freedom to speak and voice your concerns, so that after you uproot those bitter, come on, y'all. But here we go. I disagree with what you're saying. Shut up. Be quiet. Go to your room. I don't agree with that. And I'm the parent, so if I don't agree, it's over. When we say I don't agree, I dare to say we just disagreed. And I said Sunday that dis is Latin prefix for apart, asunder. But we say, well, God has put together, let no man put asunder. We're looking for the man out here to come in and separate. But the asunder the disconnect comes from the disagreement that takes place right here within. So parents and teens, let God, what God has put together, let no man put asunder. Don't let a disagreement in your house, come on, y'all, am I helping somebody? Disconnect you from your teen. Disconnect you from your child. Don't let your child be disconnected from you because of a disagreement. Don't let it happen. You know, here's a good example. I think early on the kids were saying how they didn't like to wash dishes. And I saw over decades, parents and children separated, disconnected because of the disagreement of dishes. So I came and I said, well, look, we're going to come to a place of agreement one way or another. I said, I ain't got no problem washing the dishes all the time. You ain't got to wash the dishes. Whew. Yoke lifted. But what do you want to do? Because whatever it is, I'll never do it. I don't do floors no more. I don't do trash no more. I don't sweep and I don't mop and I don't do counters. All I do is dishes. Hallelujah. Because I heard parents in teen ministry too long where they were coming in disconnected and complaining about the disagreement they're having with their parents. And God just opened my eyes and says, don't ever allow disagreements with your child to disconnect you from the one that God has put in your care. Ain't that good? So I just want to release that to you. It's a wonderful place because even standing at that sink, Mother Etna, you know where all these visions and all these dreams and all these how I'm going to help this teenage entrepreneur launch this business, you know where they take place at? Washing and cleaning. Because, you know, the enemy cannot and will not stay around, what I tell the intercessor Saturday, dirt and debris. So I realized that while I'm cleaning dishes, Jesus, running water, that I am opening up the area I'm standing as a throne room of God to strategically hear and receive what he's speaking into my spirit. And that which used to be a disagreement that caused a disconnect has now become the place where my children are birthed into their promises. Birth right there. How else am I going to get revelation to call somebody in New York and ask them, can they help me with a fragrance line? I don't know nobody in New York. I literally do not know anyone in New York. But standing there, God would just give me, go Google this, go Google that. And I'm like, okay. Go do it. And the manifestation of two teenage entrepreneurs were birthed right there at that kitchen sink washing dishes. So instead of speaking death and doom into our children's life, James 3:10 says, out of the same mouth comes blessings and curses. And he says, my brother, these things ought not be. How do we say at night, I love you, and then the next day we're arguing and fussing and fighting with them before they can get in from school good? Okay? And he says, I will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on me. Why? Because he trusts me. If we trust God with our children, we won't be moved off of what God has spoken to us concerning our children. We won't let our mind tell us that they're doing what we did. A lot of parents are living in the fears of their past. It tried me. You know, first time they went out by themselves, I was like, oh, Jesus! Because I remember the first time I went out by myself. Trapped in the fears of my past. Till it got to the point where Jeremiah said, Mom, what do you think we're doing out there? We're just playing video games. And I felt this small. Just because I won't play in video games, why if I trust God? It says, let me tell you the scripture again. Isaiah 26:3, it says, I will keep you in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on me because you trust me. That's where the peace in our household come from. Trusting, come on, y'all. Trusting God. Say, I trust God. All right, I'm done. I'm going to close out right there because that's a good place. I trust God. We say we trust him, but to worry, to stay up at night, to pace the floor, to lose sleep, to PC will tell you that bleeding ulcer, you know, all that came from worrying way back in the day. And we're over it. And the anointing does flow from the head down. So whatever's on us is now penetrating and saturating your spirit. I speak that prophetically. It flow for God to start somewhere. It's starting from the head down. You can trust that child. You can trust that teenager. You can trust that your adult kids are making life decisions. I ain't even say right. They're making life decisions. If you say you're making a wrong decision, blessings and curses come out the same mouth, and brothers, it ought not be. How can you tell somebody, you're wrong, you're making it wrong? No. I bless you with the decision that you're making. I bless you for the decision that you're making, and I trust, and you ain't got to tell them this, you can think it. I trust that should it not be the best decision, God will detour you back around and put you on path. If you done train them up, and the word say train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it, then why worry after they get grown and get sent off? Amen. That same blood, come on, that we put ourselves under, I love it, because I had a vision one day. The Holy Ghost had me in my closet, TJ, and he said, I was dealing with praying for somebody, and I was like, Lord, I just can't get to him. He said, the devil is a lie, girl. I went into a vision. I just saw the blood streaming, and the Holy Spirit just said, cup your hands. I cup my hands, and I received spiritually. Well, nothing really touching my hand, not in the natural. But in the spirit realm, when I felt the Spirit say, your hands are full of the blood, now throw it, I threw it. And he had me do that to the left and the right, the front and the back. And within a matter of about 2 or 3 days, this individual called me and said, they don't know what has transpired in their life, but they have been delivered from the oppressive yokes of the enemy that had blinded them in a situation. Come on, you throw the blood. On that, stand up and give God some praise, and let's just praise him for the power that's in the blood. I don't need to go to where you are. I plead the blood of Jesus over you right where you are. I don't need to be in your company or in your presence, but if I got the power of the blood, that's why I love lifting my hands, because the word says that the blood came streaming down. And after I receive the blood and the power of the blood in my life, I'm able to take that blood and apply it to the life of my children. So why worry? Spouse going away for the weekend, don't know about the dangers that's unseen. I just apply the blood to my life, and then I apply the blood to his life and say, you covered in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. So you might even be here tonight and just want to make that public confession. And I just say lifting of the hands is just symbolic of, I can't do this any longer, Lord, but I'm surrendering. It's called like I'm yielding myself. That's what it is. That's what I hear. I yield myself to you. I yield myself to you. You might not have ever heard this teaching go forth the way it has, but it's the spirit and it's the power and it's the presence of God that lives on the inside of me. Everything I'm teaching and ministering, trust me, I am not perfect. I have to apply it not once a week, but all day, every day to my life to keep my mind at peace. So with all eyes closed and hands lifted in the air, Destiny Cast viewers, you as well.